Again, good to be back today, this evening. Hope you've had a good afternoon of rest. And just to hear him say, "Peace be still," just a sweet whisper. What a wonderful song. Thank you, sister, for singing. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 23 this evening. Good to see Brother Harry here in the house of God with us. How you been, Brother Harry? Been good?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Praise the Lord.
You're not looking over a day over 72.
Well, I thank the Lord, and you know, preaching the word in my own community there where I live, where there's peace. I preach the gospel. Jesus is the only way to salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir, it is. It is a shame. It's good to see you.
Yeah, well, it's good to be here.
You stay faithful. Stay faithful. We had a wonderful time at the nursing home. I was able to meet Mr. Reyes. Mr. Reyes was a missionary for 31 years in New York. And now his son's a pastor out in Claremont. His other son was a pastor in Alaska, but his son's retired now. Mr. Reyes is 92 years old, and he's still excited about church today. And he's a Filipino man. And how has he made a track around the world?
Amen.
From the Philippines, pastored in New York 31 years, and now he retired down in Good Samaritan. And now his health's got so that he had to move him over to the consulate. So that was a blessing. It was a real blessing to meet him. And he was thankful that we as a church came by. He said it's a very, very needful thing. And so it was encouragement to Mr. Reyes this morning, Brother Reyes, this afternoon. This one here, this chapter we're in, right now, as we've gone verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Genesis, it's kind of a sad chapter, and we'll probably have its touch in many different ways upon people's lives. Abraham finds death in his own home. Death in his own home. Genesis chapter 23, verse 1, and Sarah was 120 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead, and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, "I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, "Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead." And Abraham stood up, bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, "If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me. Entreat for me to Ephraim, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham and the audience of the children of Heth, even all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there.
Amen.
And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury, therefore, thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave in the field of Machpelah before Mamre, and the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. This chapter deals with the subject of death, the death of Sarah. Abraham has now become a mourner. You know, the child of God will face such things as this. In Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 27, it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die." So Abraham, in this passage, as we read and we looked at it, he displays real Christian faith in a time of an event that had darkness all around it. The death of a loved one is an emotional time. It's a time of sorrow, a time of heartache, a time of reflecting. Sometimes it's, I wish I had, I could have, or things of that nature. In verses 1 and 2, we find there that Sarah died 37 years after the birth of Isaac. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and in the heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years and old, and shall bear, and shall Sarah, which is 90 years old, bear? So she was 90 years old at the time she bore Isaac and gave birth. And now, some 37 years after the birth of Isaac, Abraham is without a wife, without a companion. It was the death of a lifelong companion. True marital couple that spent years and years and years together. Real life, uphills, downhills, troubles, struggles. Seeing God work, doubting God, walking in faith. Having God himself show up and eat a meal at their tent, outside their tent door, there. For more than 60 years, they had lived as husband and wife. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would, hold your place there, we're going to come back. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Live together as husband and wife in subjection. And Ephesians talks about being in subjection one to the other. It says, husbands, love thy wife as Christ loved the church. And so they lived together. They gave, they conceived a child that had been waited on. Finally, God gave the child. So not only a companion, not only a fellow believer, she never once did we read that Sarah's kicking and dragging her feet when Abraham's trying to get along and get to a place where God had told him to go. She believed just as much as Abraham. So a believer, a companion, a wife, and the mother of your child that you had waited and waited and waited and waited for, and finally God brought it. Can you imagine? Not only was Abraham troubled during this time as he became to a point of mourning, but also Isaac. Isaac's heart was surely broke. If you would, go to Genesis 24. Go to Genesis 24, verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Talking about Rebekah. And he took Rebekah. And she became his wife and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So Isaac, mourning on down the road quite a little while here. So it was a time of heartache. And it was a death that took place. And no doubt with 318 trained servants, Abraham had seen other wives pass away. He'd seen other aunts, other mothers in his camp pass away, but now it was in his home. You know, sometimes we, as a church family, death affects us. And we try our best to mourn with them and weep with those that weep and try to be there to comfort those that are needing comforting. But how are we going to deal with it when it's in our home? It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this judgment, if we live long enough around here, surely we're going to see death in our church family again. But how are we going to deal with it in our individual homes as it takes place? And this was the death of a lady who had lived a full life. But we know that death doesn't always wait for a full life. Sometimes death comes early. Sometimes it comes with amongst the young, the teenage, the young women, young men. So how are we going to deal with it in our home? And here's a scripture, a passage here in Genesis chapter 23 that teaches us how a person of faith is to act when death is in our home. Not that you don't mourn, not that your heartache is not, your heart's not broken, not that there's not trouble in your soul, but Abraham came to a point where he wept and mourned. And let me tell you, this is a genuine express of sorrow.
Amen.
But you've been with somebody for some 60-odd years, dear friend. You're going to break and you're going to hurt and you're going to weep and you're going to things that's going to come about in your life. Maybe a fragrance of a flower that loved one loved and smelled. And so just, that's going to bring some tears into your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says that we have a hope. And when death comes into our homes, into our lives, this is a good passage that would help us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those which are dead, but that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Amen. We have hope. That's why it's important that we as the Lord's children live in such a way that when death does approach us, that those around us are left with hope. I said, well, you know, he said he was a Christian. I'm not sure. Why would we have something of such surety as eternal salvation leave doubt with those around us? Our death should not break them to a point of mental breakdown because they're worried that we're in hell because we made a profession with our lips, but our lives and heart was not in accordance with Scripture. We have hope. And we should. God doesn't want us to be ignorant on this subject of death, by the way. Death is a real thing, and it brings sorrow. This is the, as you read and study it, you look at it. This is probably the, if I'm not mistaken, as we've studied along, I haven't heard of any tears or read of any tears up to this point. There has been no mention of weeping up until this point, of tears. Now, I may have missed it. I'll go back and verify that, but I don't think up to this point, I mean, it's the first mention of tears, not the first mention of death, but Genesis chapter 5, he lived and he died. He lived and he died. He lived and he died. It was like almost like a robotic thing. He lived and died. He lived and died. But here we have real heartache, real pain. So death had come to the house of Abraham. He's broken in verse 2. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the name of the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. It's a natural thing. But it's also a natural thing for us to care for those that we love when death does approach. Verses 3 through 8, Abraham took this matter of responsibility with great heed. Verses 3 and 4, you'll notice, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and Abraham stood up from before his dead, and he spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, and I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of the burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. In verse 6, hear us, my Lord, thou art mighty prince among us, and the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee this sepulcher, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. So it was a great responsibility that was placed upon him, and he had to come up and gather himself in the hope of God and find the wherewithal within him to bury his loved one. And he took this responsibility with great care. Verse 8 talks about it again. They said, thy dead. Verse 11, thy dead. Verse 13, thy dead. Verse 15, thy dead. Verse 19, I did. I think they understood the responsibility lied at the hands of Abraham. But maybe a difficult spot, a difficult place, and death is there. But when we have hope in Christ and we believe in the resurrection of life, and we understand that that is a child of God, and I'm a child of God, and this isn't the end. It's just a momentary separation. That one day the dead in Christ shall rise again. If I'm still alive, I'm going to meet her or them, and together we're going to be with the Lord forever. Amen. So he took the duty with great responsibility and care. She was precious to him. It was his wife. His responsibility. So how are we going to deal? How are we going to act when death is at our house? I think these are chapters in the Bible that teaches us how that we can act and should act and the way we should be. He said, I want a burying place that I can bury my dead. And then you see his faith in verses 14 through 18. Abraham understood he was going to remain in the land of Canaan. You understand at this point in this chapter, in this verse, Abraham's done been promised three times by God that all of this land was going to be his. But it had not yet come to pass. So it would have been okay. Abraham could have said, oh, they're going to give it to me? I mean, it would have been nothing for this prince to give a little corner piece. But I don't think he wanted again for the world to have any hold over him. You remember what he told the king of Sodom? I don't even want a shoe latchet. Not even a shoe latchet. Do you understand that at this point in time, Abraham said, I'm a sojourner. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. This is the only piece of real estate that Abraham owns, and he's buying it for a burial place. He wasn't tying himself to this world because why? He's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. See, he wasn't worried about being tied up with the cares of this world. He was looking for the promises of God. But wait a minute, preacher. The promises of God was that he would have all of this land. That's nearsighted promises. The farsighted promise is one day I'm going to be with my God. One day I'm going to be with my Heavenly Father. But he's very courteous in his dealings. Did you notice several times it said that he knelt or bowed down before the people of the land? He could have been arrogant. They said, you're a mighty prince. Why do you think they allowed Abraham to dwell amongst them? They understood Abraham was a man of integrity, but a man of warriors. These people were alive whenever Abraham gathered up 318 trained soldiers in his household and went, took back all those from Lot, from the five kings and brought all the stuff back so he could release his uncle, his nephew Lot. They understood where he was at. But you're a mighty prince. Abraham was very courteous. He dealt justly. And I'll tell you why he dealt justly. He had a testimony that he wanted to maintain with the people of the land. You remember what he told Lot? There's parasites, there's Hivites, there's Amorites. Why are we with your brothers? Why are we with your family? Why are we acting in such a way amongst the heathen? He had a testimony that he cared about. And that testimony was that he would please God. And so he dealt justly with them. I don't know if the land was worth 400 shekels of silver. When the man spoke, you remember it said twice, it talked about him being at the gate. You remember we learned that Lot was at the gate. This is a place of business. This is a place of transaction. This is like the city council sitting around here. And he spoke out. Ephron did. Abraham saw what he wanted. He saw that beautiful little spot down there. He'd been past there before. He said, what a lovely place to lay my wife. And he said, this is amazing. He didn't even go to him. But apparently in this whole conversation, he's around there somewhere. He says to the elders, I don't know if Ephron was younger, and out of respect, he just stayed there quietly. But he spoke to the others, maybe because it was like speaking to the tribal leader there or something. So as he did, but we don't hear them convey the message to Ephron. Next thing we read is Ephron speaking up and said, what is in between you and me? It's just 400 shekels of silver, that which we trade with the merchants. It was like a sealed deal. Abraham didn't try to cut him out. Didn't try to bargain with him. He said, well, you know, it's 400, but you know, all I'm going to do is use it for our cemetery, so why don't we say 200? He wanted a testimony. He wanted to keep his testimony up, and so he purchased the field and the land there with money. And now he has a place to bury his dead. Hebrews chapter 11 talks a lot about this situation and about Abraham's life in general, kind of in a condensed way. But Abraham understood he was a pilgrim, just a passing through. Just a little piece, just so I can bury my wife, care for my dead. And he mourned and he wept. The last respects are paid there in 19 and 20. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure. So the boundaries were set. Everybody understood right here, this is Abraham's possession. A possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. I think Abraham understood. There's a resurrection that's going to take place. It hadn't happened yet. Well, why do you believe that? Because when he took Isaac up on that hill 2 chapters ago, he said, the lad and I will come again. I think he believed if I do what my God says to do and I slay him up on that hill, God's going to raise him up. So he believed in that, and he also believed in a reunion. But he had earthly responsibilities. So how are we going to act when death comes at our house? We need to prepare now. We have hope. I'm not saying go ahead and start crying. I'm not saying go ahead, you know, call the florist. Brother Ray, when you had your florist up there in Tennessee, did anybody ever put some, like, on 10-year in advance, like, hey, I want this? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying prepare ourselves, because death, if the Lord tarries, it's going to come to our home. And how are we going to act? How are we going to react? It's better to be prepared so that we keep a good testimony than it is to react. Because you know as well as I do, sometimes we have to react to death. You remember several years ago, Brother Richard right here. He was a young man riding his motorcycle right up Black Creek Road. Next thing we know, death was in their home. Sometimes there is that. But we can make sure we're always right with God. Make sure we're always right with each other. We don't need to. You know, when the Bible talks about don't let the sun go down on your wrath, that's more than just, you know, a husband and wife thing, but that's all of us. I don't want crosswords to be between us, and then all of a sudden, you know, Brother Jim is gone. And I can't get it right with Brother Jim. Let us stay right with each other. As much as it is that lies within us, live peaceably with all men. But death can show up at any time. And chapters like this in the Word of God are good chapters that really, really help us. And they strengthen us, and they comfort us, and they give us a direction on... If I'm to pattern my life after Abraham, I don't want to pattern it when he went down to Egypt and said, "This is my sister." I want to pattern it when he dealt, he was right there with God, eye to eye with God, and doing things how God would have it be done. Abraham was a real man, real flesh, real fears. But at this moment, this chapter of Abraham's life, he was right with God. And he dealt with death in a godly manner. Pastor, that's a pretty eerie kind of sermon night. Well, I'm sorry. When you go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, it's just where we find ourselves. It's there. But we can deal with it. We have a good God. His mercy endureth forever. Precious in his sight is the death of one of his saints. It is. I mean, we're heartbroken. We are. But how are we going to act, and how are we going to care, and how are we going to do? We can do it. Yeah, we can do it.